Good morning, Beeville, 12 o'clock. How you doing? Come on, how you doing today? Yes, I love this crowd. I love this. I get to speak this message for the third time, and I must pre-warn you, put on your big boy and your big girl pants, all right? We're in a message series entitled, I'm Offended. I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. If you don't have your Bible, you can open it up and in the Key Point Church app, Matthew chapter 24. We'll get there in a moment. Once again, we're in a message series entitled, I'm Offended. And the title of this message is The Age of Offense. And I want you to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, come on, look at your neighbor. Come on, work, say, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, this message is for you, all right? Now look at your other neighbor and say, neighbor, this message is for me too, all right? Holy Spirit's going to speak to me. Father, we thank you for your presence here today. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to be in the house of God, to worship you, to honor you, to hear your word. And I pray you let your word speak to us today. Let it change us. Articulate this message for each and every person in this room, because I believe this word is 100% applicable to everybody at this 12 o'clock service. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, to help me manage the offense and get over the offense of my life, God. I don't like living offended, and I'm gonna need you to help me. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people at the 12 o'clock service say amen. I'm offended. It's as if we no longer live in the United States of America. We now live in the United States of offense. Everybody, everywhere is offended about something all the time. The other day, this girl was trying to get me to be offended at what she was offended about, and she actually got offended that I wasn't offended like her. Are you kidding me? That didn't offend you? And I'm like, well, no, sweet girl, that didn't offend me. Well, I'm offended. You're not offended. Just offended. Everybody's offended. The Democrats are offended. The Republicans are offended. The extremists are offended. The non-extremists are offended. The vegans, the non-vegans are offended. The millennials are offended. God, we know that. I'm offended. I'm the NTV generation. I'm offended that there's no longer hair bands anymore, right? I'm offended. The Generation X's are the wires. Everybody's offended. Just offended. Christians are offended. Atheists are offended. Everybody. We wake up just, who can I be offended at today? I'm just going to be offended. I'm going to tell everybody on Facebook and at work, I'm offended. And sometimes we don't even have to open our mouths. We can just see it all over you. Just offended. Just so offended. I heard there's a group of vegans. Now, I'm not coming against vegans, all right? So if you're a vegan, don't get offended, all right? I just read this. I'm just going to read a few things that I read. There was a group of vegans who were offended, and they wanted to remove all meat-based metaphors and replace these meat-based metaphors with phrases that were less offensive, such as instead of bring home the bacon, they wanted to replace it with let's bring home the broccoli. It doesn't offend me as much. This is real stuff. There was an animal activist group. Now again, I like animals. I'm all for the welfare of animals, all right? Please hear my heart here. But this group, they were so offended, and they claimed that phrases are actually encouraging animal cruelty, such as you're beating a dead horse, or you can kill two birds with one stone. And they suggested that we replace these offensive phrases with phrases like this, you're feeding a fed horse, or you can feed two birds with one scone. That's real stuff. Like, wow. Wow. I read this one. This one's kind of funny to me. An animal activist group were outraged at the steakhouses in the city. So in order to protest their offense, they got the sound of cows being slaughtered and put it on an amplification system and amplified it across the steakhouse. The manager came out, was like, look, you can't do that. You're scaring off all my patrons. And whatever the sound is of a cow being slaughtered, all right? And he said, you can't do this. And he said, no, oh, you got to move, you know? Couldn't resist that one. But anyway, They got arrested for protesting. I mean, just offended, or just arrested. They were thrown in jail. Now, before you start saying, well, that's silly, PC, listen to me. What might get someone else offended might not get you offended, and vice versa. What seems silly to you may not be to them. And I'm telling you right now, everybody in this room, there's something in your life that if on the wrong day, on the day you didn't pray, the day you didn't read your Bible, and you woke up the wrong way, and the wrong person says something to you, woo, you will get flat ticked off and offended, and you'll find yourself sitting next to those vegetarian protesters in jail, just mad, offended. Everybody has a touchy subject. It's kind of like that game Operation. Come on. It came out right before Fortnite. It's called Operation. You remember? It required a 9-volt battery. And you would take these tweezers, and the goal was to take a major lung out of a person's body. And if you hit the side with the tweezers, it would, and then what else would happen when it would buzz? What happened? The nose would light up red. That's you. Let me be real with you, all right? That's me. Someone just touches a soft button in my life and just makes me mad. I start buzzing. I get aggravated. My nose lights up like Rudolph. That's all of us. That's all of us. So here's the question. How do we live as Christians? Everybody say Christians. It's really important that we get this, because a Christian is much different than a churchgoer. All right, just because you go to church doesn't make you a Christian. A Christian is someone who looks at the Word of God and says, all right, I want to do everything the Word of God says I'm supposed to do. Lord, help me apply this in my life, all right? Since I live in the age of offense, how do I live as a Christian and leave church today and not be offended when they don't put enough salt on my french fries at McDonald's? Or how do I not get offended tomorrow when I go to work and my boss overlooks me? How do I not, all right? Well, Jesus always gave the disciples and you and I some great teachings. Matthew chapter 24, the disciples privately asked Jesus, how do we know when it is the end of the age? In other words, Jesus, tell us, give us some clues to when we can expect the return. All right, so he sits them down. He gives them the list of things. This is what he says, verse 4. Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Verse 7, for nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, and there will be pestilences, and there will be earthquakes in various places. And reading all that, we get so caught up in the drama and the bad stuff that we miss the very next thing that Jesus says will be in the end times. And for me, it's the one that applies to us most, because we don't have a lot of pestilence here. We don't have earthquakes here. There's not wars or rumors of wars happening in Northwest Arkansas. But in verse 10, there's a lot of what's going on. And he says this, and then after all that stuff, and many, everybody say many. Many will be what? Offended. There it is. Many will be offended. Many will be offended. In other words, Jesus was saying, a sign to my return is that you will be living in the age and a culture of offense. So to answer my original question, how can I as a Christ follower live in the age of offense? I think the first step is to understand the time, understand the season that I live in. Now, I'm not saying Jesus is coming back, all right? I'm never going to speculate that. That is not my place. But I am saying with confidence that we are living in the age of offense. And when I, as a Christ follower, understand the season, then I'll go out of my house, I'll leave church, and I won't get so offended. I'll be, understanding is half the battle. It's just the world that we live in, all right? It's what's going to happen. Here's the second thing that I've got to do in order to live in an age of offense is understand that offenses are inevitable. They're going to happen. They are going to happen. I'm telling you, I bet I have offended somebody in this room already. Look at him preaching with Nike 270s. I can't believe him. What kind of pastor preaches with a hoodie? You look like a Utes up there, boy. Okay. I did it on purpose to offend you today. I'm kidding, I didn't, I? I just like to keep my critics guessing. But we got to understand that offenses are inevitable, that they are going to happen. In fact, in Luke chapter 17, turn there if you have your Bible or your phone, Jesus even confirms this truth. He says this to his disciples. He says this. He says, "It is impossible." That's some pretty powerful words from the God of the impossible, right? So if Jesus, who can do the impossible, is saying it is impossible, don't that just spike curiosity in you? At least it does to me. So he says, it's impossible. What, Jesus? Raising the dead? That's easy. Healing the sick? That's easy. Well, what's impossible, Jesus? And he says this, it is impossible. This is what he says. It's impossible that no offenses should come. It's inevitable. It's gonna happen. I promise you, here's what Jesus is saying. I promise you, your spouse is gonna get on your last nerve. She's gonna tick you off. He is gonna tick you off. I promise you, it's gonna happen. Your boss is gonna overlook you. He's gonna or she's gonna overpromise and under-deliver. It's gonna happen. I promise you that someone you love is gonna do something that offends you. Someone that you trusted is gonna do something that betrays your confidence in them, and it's gonna offend you. Now, let me say something about that before we move on, because I was speaking to this lady several months ago, and she said somebody in the church offended her. Just offended. She was offended because of what someone said. So I started kind of going into it, like, what are you talking about? She goes, I just got offended. Well, where are you going to church? Oh, I'm not going to church anymore. I'm just offended. And what she did, she was confusing the nature of God with the nature of man and woman. I said, listen, don't you ever think that God is like man or woman, all right? Because we by nature are bad. We're by nature are gonna offend people. And especially in the church, people get offended at people in church and they say, oh, well, I'm just not going to church. Don't you ever mistake the image of God with the image of man, all right? God will never betray you. He can be trusted. And I have talked to people and over again that will not come back to church because they got offended at church. And the church is the very thing that can bring them life and healing. Amen? Come on, I need to hear a better amen right there. I promise you, you're going to get offended. Someone is going to talk about their political views, and they're going to talk about it so nasty, it's just going to offend you. And you're going to want to write back on Facebook, and I'm telling you, don't press send. I hope we pray and ask the Holy Spirit, how should we as Christians live our life in 2020? Because I'm telling you, politically, it's going to get crazy. And we need to be a light and salt. We need to be encouragement and not out there stirring up fires and offending people. I promise you it's going to happen. Look what Jesus says. He continues verse 1. Again, I think this is part of Scripture we don't read. We see the first part, but we don't read this. And let me say something about Scripture. You can't read one Scripture because it makes you feel good and read another Scripture and not listen to it because it doesn't make you feel good. You have to take all of Scripture into account. You can't be selective about what Scripture you believe or don't believe in, all right? And here's what he says. But woe to him. Woe. Everybody say woe. That is a stern word, but woe to him through whom they come. What are you talking about here, Jesus? Woe to the person that's out there stirring up all the strife, that's out there stirring up all the anger, that's out there stirring up all the hatred, doing those negative things that cause all that. Vindictive things. Woe to that person. And here's the consequences. He says, woe to that person through which they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. That's some strong words right there. If you've never seen a millstone is about the size of a washing machine. It looks like a wheel. It's about a foot and a half wide. It could weigh over 2,000 pounds. and the wheel is turned by a donkey or a horse, and it rolls just like a wheel over a flat stone and crushes wheat or whatever it's rolling over. So get the picture. This is what Jesus says. If you're out there causing other people to get offended, it would be better for you to tie a big millstone around your neck and go try swimming in Beaver Lake. Now, I haven't seen too many people walking around today with millstones around their neck, but I have a feeling that there is some type of 2019 version of a millstone. And I don't know about you, but I don't want that thing around my neck. And I'm tempted often, especially to the ones I love the most, just to let down my guard and just to be mean because I'm just mad. Give me the biscuits right now, woman. Well, hold up. You don't talk to your staff like that. Well, I don't care. I'm not just out there, just offended. So again, Jesus is saying that it's impossible to avoid offense. If that's the case, which it is, then we better ask ourselves this question and come up with the answer. How much does it take for me to get offended? Some of y'all going, I can tell you how much it takes for him to get offended. Not much, you know. Like if I'm in a fight and I'm cussing at someone and they're cussing at me and they cuss at me more than five times, they've crossed the line. That's it. All right, you've done it, man. Five times I can handle it, but the sixth time, nope, let's fight. You know, I'm offended. I'm kidding, all right? But sometimes we get so offended so easy, and I think what we've got to do is just lower that. Just lower it. What is your level of offendability? Now, I know that's not a word in the dictionary, but just go with me. What is your current level of offendability? Now, I know for me, when it comes to marriage, God has used my marriage to help me in many, many ways grow. And one particular time, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Casey, you get offended way too easy in this relationship. What? And the Holy Spirit said, and because of that, you get offended way too easy. Because of that, you're sabotaging your marriage from joy and excitement and true fulfillment. I'm telling you, deep down inside, I got offended at God. I'm like, what? I mean, I actually spoke to God like I'm talking to you. I'm like, God, I don't get easily offended. Me? No way. I'm trying to convince God I don't get offended. And down deep inside, I got offended. I didn't talk to him for like 5 days. I was so offended. But our level of offendability is so high. Do you realize that your level of offendability, listen to this, is actually an indicator of your level of spiritual maturity? Let that one sink in. And God will often, what he'll do is place your breakthrough or your miracle on the other side of an offense. So you're faced with a decision. I can stay small and stay offended, or I can ask the Holy Spirit to help me. Oh, by the way, which he wants to help you. If he said it's impossible, then don't you think he'll make it possible? Or I can grow and become the person that God has wanted me to be. And I've learned that Jesus knows exactly how to get me buzzing and light my nose red. I know at first earshot you're thinking, well, how does Jesus offend you? I'm telling you, he can't help but offend me. It's who he is. In fact, I would say if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, then he probably won't be offending you. But if you're in a personal relationship with Jesus, he'll probably offend you. I'm going to tell you why. Look at John chapter 14, verse 6. It's the nature of who he is. He answered, he said, this is who I am. He said, I am the way, and here it is, and the what? Come on, say it again. I am the way and the what? The truth by nature will offend you. I am the way, and I am the truth. Now, Jesus is not out there offending me just to make me angry at him. He is speaking the truth because sometimes he'll tick me off with the truth before that truth can actually transform me. Because when I don't know the truth, I'm deceived. And what he'll do, he'll come to me and say, Casey, here's the truth about where you are. And if I don't receive it and get offended, then I'll stay the same. But the Bible says in John chapter 8, verse 32, that you will know the what? The truth, and the what? The truth will set you free. Woo, somebody's getting this today. The truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. One time Stacy came to me early on in our marriage. She said, Casey, you've got to listen to me. You know I love you. You know I respect you. Yeah. Do you trust me? Yes, Stacy, I trust you. And I thought she was about to tell me how great I was and how splendid I was and God's gift to everybody. She said, listen, you are very crude and sarcastic with your comments, and you hurt people and you hurt me. Now, deep down inside, I wasn't clapping for joy and running around the room. At first, I got offended. I'm like, woman? Haven't you seen me? I'm God's gift. I lead worship. I preach. I know how to move and articulate the scripture. How dare you come to me and tell me I'm crude and sarcastic? I could have done that. I could have doubled down. What would that have done in my marriage? Wouldn't have helped one bit. Some of y'all are going, oh, light bulb's going off. Because I realized the Holy Spirit brought my wife into my life to help me, to make me better. And I said, you know what, you're right. I've realized that. And there was multiple times where she came, hey, you're being really rude right now. You're offending people. You are offending people. And I had to ask myself, what's the truth here? And I had to embrace the truth. And when I begin to embrace the truth about my crude and offensive sarcasm, I begin to find freedom in some things inside of me. She wasn't there to point the finger at me. She was simply being an agent to help me, like Jesus helping me. Here's the truth. And if you think about it, every relationship you have runs the risk of offense. You can't get offended in isolation. No wonder the enemy wants us all to be alone and not have close friends. Because he, in a relationship, it says iron sharpens iron, but if I don't receive it, then I'm going to get offended that you told me that I'm not good enough in that area. But no, when God wants me to get better, and my friends and my close loved ones, they help me. Every relationship runs the risk of offense. You don't stand in front of the mirror and go, I'm offended at what you just said at me, boy. And if you do, we need to talk to you at the church, all right? Because that's not right. We have counselors for that, all right? But notice in the text, and you got to get this. Jesus didn't say in Luke 17, verse 1, that it is impossible for you not to get offended. He didn't say that. Because offense and offended are two different things. We've got to understand the difference. See, offense is what happened, and offended is the reaction to what happened. Come on, everybody, stay focused with me, all right? This is very important you get this, because I see so many Christians battling with offenses from some of the smallest things and some of the biggest things. But offense says, you did this to me. Offended says, I'll never, ever forgive you. Cold day in hell when I forgive you. See, offense is the event, but offended is a decision. Jesus said it was impossible for you to avoid offense. He didn't say it was impossible for you not to be offended, which means that being offended, understand this, is optional. You don't have to live offended. You don't have to. What if he keeps doing the same thing over and over? All right, that's between God. We can deal with that. We don't have to live offended. So if offenses are inevitable, they're going to happen, but offended is optional, then that means it is possible for me and you to live our life unoffended. Oh, if we would only tap into the power of the Holy Spirit, and sometimes I think we fall short of that. We ask God for breakthrough here. We ask God to heal us. We ask God for financial breakthroughs and miracles in our work. But could we ask God to give us grace in his mercy and his power in these things in our lives that have offended us? Imagine the joy that would come back to our lives, the excitement, the fulfillment, all because I'm just offended. You ever been around an offended person? person. They're bitter. They're angry. They're not fun. And if that's you, you don't have to live like that anymore. Now, I'm not saying what they did to you is not wrong, because it was, all right? I mean, there's things that are dangerous and physically inappropriate. Look, I get all that. But I'm saying we have to, as Christ followers, tap into the power that Jesus wants to give us and his grace so that you and I can do our best to live unoffended. And he wants us to have that. He wants us to have that. Will you bow your heads with me this afternoon as we close? I believe some of you for the first time, listen to me, close your eyes, bow your head. I believe some of you for the first time today are going to make a decision to allow the Holy Spirit to help you with a certain offense, a relationship that went bad, a business decision that went bad. Someone else got the position and not you because of lies, and you know it, and you didn't have the opportunity to voice the truth. Someone betrayed your trust, offended. Today, what you're going to do is you're going to turn it over to God. You're going to say, God, I need you to help me right here. I need your power, because I'm tired of living an offended life. My heart has been sabotaged. My Christianity is being sabotaged. I'm angry. I'm bitter. I sometimes question. I need you to help me with this offense. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Before we get to that, I want to pray with those in here who would say, Pastor Casey, my heart is not right with Jesus. I need to give my life to Jesus. I'm talking about salvation. I'm talking about salvation. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in here today and you'll say, if I died tonight, I don't know if I would make it to heaven. Well, I'm going to tell you what the Bible says about that. It says no. Why would Jesus suffer the cross so that you could question your eternal security? And today you can know for sure. You can know for sure. So this is what I want us to do. Here at Key Point Church, we respond. We respond. Respond to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Maybe it's salvation. Every head bowed and every eye closed, this is a holy moment between you and God. As we get, for the next several minutes, we just get honest with God. It's a response moment. Out loud, I want us all to pray this prayer. Out loud with me, say, Jesus Christ, I ask you to forgive me. Come on, say, Jesus, I repent of my sins and thank you for saving me. I confess you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for my eternal security. In Jesus' name.